Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
We start with good fresh chicken, like we know we should.
11 herbs and spices make your finger licking good.
We don't freeze roll or chop it, it's chicken, nothing more.
That's a real good reason why smart folks come here more.
It's so nice, nice to feel so good.
Welcome to Free State, everybody. Or should I think I'll give it a full title today for reasons that will become clear. Welcome to Free State with Joe Brawley and Dion Fanning and anyone prepared to cough up to pay some naming rights. I will sell my own name, Joe.
PepsiCo.
You want Pepsi?
PepsiCo.
Free State with Joe Brawley and Pepsi. And you'll shove me out. I don't mind. I'm prepared to lose, you know, but maybe we could bring Coca-Cola and Pepsi together. I heard there was an urban myth that the only...
We're too edgy, apparently.
For Pepsi?
For any of them. Because, you see, they're not selling a product anymore. They're selling a lifestyle.
Yeah.
They're integrating themselves into our lives. And they're, you know, almost now, we live our lives, you know, our optimism or pessimism depends on consumer confidence, you know, what we can buy, what we can access, you know, and we're being infiltrated all the time in ways that we don't even know.
The reason we are talking about this, and we will talk about how we're being infiltrated, but we're talking about the story that Parky Cueve was going to be renamed or was proposed renamed Super Value Park. Park Super Value.
Kentucky Fried Chicken were in for it as well.
Were they?
Yeah. Kentucky Fried Chicken Park. you ever hear the one about man goes to his mother's funeral and service is being held, you know, in a funeral parlour, and as the vicar is about to start, the man says, "Oh, vicar, excuse me," and everybody stops. He says, "Well, what's the Wi-Fi code?" And the vicar says, sort of indignantly, your mother is barely in her coffin. The man says, "Is that all lowercase?" You know, and you know, almost everything is for sale now. And I mean, I can't think of any part of our lives, our daily lives, our loves, everything that isn't now treated as a potential business opportunity by big corporations. And particularly now with the internet, they've absolutely struck gold with that. You know, get us hooked and just turn us into wee consumers, wee profit-making commodities. Yeah, and you see particularly the way our kids are brainwashed now. They have to have a certain sneaker, they have to have a certain hoodie, you know, they have to have a certain phone. They're all starting to talk the same way, sound the same, you know. And, you know, this big idea, I suppose, started with really visionary brands like Nike. Said, "Well, look, we're not in the business of selling sneakers. We're in the business of selling a dream. You know, an idealized version of the world. And even better than that, we won't even make the stuff ourselves. We'll farm it out to sweatshops. Hey! Now, you know, got some issues with the old sweatshops. You know, lots of people jumping off the roofs of these sweatshops, you know, so that in many instances they've had to install nets, like the trapeze artists. And everything, the idea that was born in the 80s is that everything, and I mean everything, was a business opportunity, and no part of human life will be exempt.
And that, in this instance, and we in this instance, there is a kind of a pressing, and I accept that, and I think it, like, there is a pressing kind of need for somebody to come up with some money, though, because the situation with Parky Queeve seems to be pretty pretty dire financially.
You see, the more you wedge yourself to the world of commerce, and the more, you know, a beautiful, pristine amateur association, ventures into that world of professionalism, you know, the more these problems are going to arise, you know. And, like, the whole point of the GA was that it was supposed to be a bulwark against all of these things. It was supposed to be a relief in our daily lives, you know. I mean, it was a couple of years ago, our Prontius, my brother, you know, he's a very keen amateur historian, you know, and a fascinating fella. Very funny too. But he gives a lecture on the Easter Rising. And I went to see it in the Dungiven Clubhouse, and the place was packed. Very, very absorbing. He was a great personality, you know, he runs the history department in the convent in Marafield. But one of the themes of that was the critical role of the GAA in breaking the mental stranglehold of the British. You know, I mean, even things that I hadn't realised, you know, by the 1800s, late 1800s, because of really the tyranny, you know, that had stamped out almost every part of Irish culture, we were little Englanders. And at the national schools, we sang God Save the King. And what better man to save him, Dion? And it was compulsory to start each school day with this prayer. I can only say this. I thank the goodness and the grace that on my birth has smiled and made me in these Christian days a happy English child. You know, so that's how Anglified we had become. And, you know, the purpose behind the foundation of the GAA in 1884 was that it was to be a profound catalyst in the revival of Ireland. You know, and it very quickly, I mean, Michael Cusick, you know, who the Cusick Stand is named after, you know, and one of the founders of the GAA, he went to Kilkenny in 1890, and the most popular sport in the county by then, long established, was
cricket.
How did you know that?
Because I know about these things.
Of course.
Michael Cusick played cricket.
It was played in the rural areas by farmers and farm labourers. Like, it wasn't a posh sport. You know, everybody was playing it. Very widespread appeal. Do you know how many cricket clubs there were in Kilkenny in 1890?
Lots and lots and lots.
That's not an answer. 50. There were 50. And do you know how many hurling clubs there were in Kilkenny by 1890?
Two.
Four. And, I mean, as he said, you know, a tourist might easily mistake it for Lancashire. And, you know, the GAA historian, Mark Duncan. I don't know if he's a professor or not. Professor Duncan, sorry. He wrote that when Michael Cusack visited Kilkenny to see for himself what the state of play was, he was absolutely enraged. He thralled the county. He could only find cricket games. And eventually he found a hurling game, which was, quote, very poorly attended, being played by two teams whose hurling is the worst and most spiritless ever witnessed on an Irish hillside.
And at one point he said, as the game continued around them, a half dozen players laid out on the ground for a rest. Which would be enough to break the hearts of the more serious hurling folk of Tipperary and Galway. Now, obviously, this was pre-Brian Cody. But imagine, you know, they got so tired after a short spell that they all had to lie down on the ground as the game continued. You know, like babies. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm having a rest here. And the transformation occasioned by the GAA, you know, to move to 2,200 clubs. You know, the administrative structure that was put in place, the club championships, quickly became an enormous source of pride for Irish people because we've been starved. And in Kilkenny, they set down the cricket bats and took up the hurls. And an identity centred around that community began to take shape.
But their hurling, of course, was enhanced hugely by the fact that they had played cricket. You know, that's why you look at where cricket was strongest is where hurling took off. That's true. That's, you can laugh, but that is the truth. Kilkenny, all those places, you know, Kilkenny, a lot of, you know, Wexford, there was a lot of cricket clubs all around those places. And
I suppose any of those places where the English had really...
But as you said, it wasn't... And, like, I agree with you. There's no disputing how the GA took over and became part of these things. But it was also... There's a fantastic book by a guy called James Quinn called No Foreign Game, which is about Irish football and identity, Irish soccer and identity. And he talks about a lot in that book about how, the sports were in competition with each other. Some were given, GAA became was the sport that you demonstrated your Irish identity by. And it was also then the proponents of those games were then able to attack the other games on the basis of them not being Irish, whatever that meant. Okay. And, you know, so like, you know, you would, when there was like 4,000 people at a soccer match, people in 1918, some official was some GAA official was saying, you know, are we at war with the English or not? Now, you look at somewhere like Dublin, like the volunteers in 1916 came from, they were the amount of them who were soccer players was far greater than people, you know, in a city like Dublin. Yeah. They came from like soccer communities. They weren't any less Irish because they played soccer. Now, what you're saying, you know, what your point is true as well. But at the same time, I think one of the great tragedies of Irish sport, and this would actually feed into what Páirc Uí Chaoimh has become and why it's sitting empty all the time, is how sports became so tribal, that they became badges of identity, that you weren't allowed, that you were somehow, and this is the, especially for soccer, really, but rugby was elevated and had its own ways of protecting itself, but soccer was seen as, the Shoneen game, like a game for, it was just, it was.
And it, so it is.
It's not.
It is.
It's not. That's absolutely
the culture's
rubbish.
Terrible.
No, it's not. It's
you get the odd club like Bohemians or Jerry City, but the actual
nonsense.
Overall culture, as Roddy Collins always talks about this as an insider there, he says the culture is terrible. It's just dog eat dog and individual.
But that's not the culture. The culture, and, the culture
but
at the
point,
top is
the point
terrible.
I'm
not going to let that. It's a game played by. It's a game played by so many people in this country.
Saying that
every week,
the GAA is much more than a game.
That's fair enough.
I'm talking about the miracle that is the GAA community.
Okay.
And it was absolutely critical in establishing an identity for us. And we've gone on in spite of the overwhelming power of the corporate world and all of that, we have gone on to flourish. And up until this point, you know, we have grown and grown and grown. And our ethos, you know, has preserved something, you know, that we cannot afford to lose, because what we don't want to do is to turn into simple consumers. I mean, there was a piece in The Guardian this week and it asked, can relationships survive the smartphone? Did you read it? It's a very serious question. I was talking to a younger girl
a sister of a solicitor who I work with, and she told me that if she goes out now, very good looking girl, very articulate, clever, all that, said that a young man would never come up to chat to her. That just doesn't happen anymore. Everything is shopped on the internet. You know, everyone's on Tinder.
Mm.
You look for someone tonight, and then you might like her, but look, there's someone else popping up.
There's too much choice.
There's someone else popping up on my phone screen now.
Yeah.
And all of the time, we're being tempted away from our true selves towards this sort of instant gratification of the consumer, you know. And, you know, one of the and I want to come around to the real importance.
Somebody I know you saw would say, what's wrong with instant gratification? It's instant and it's gratifying.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at the instant gratification of the web. I mean, I look at these things and say, like, oh my God, like there's a cat with seven legs, yeah. You know, or maybe a man with his hand growing out of his cheek,
mm.
And it's like 150 million views. You know, she's like, ah, you know, gas is bad, like, you know, but Jesus, have you seen this child who can light his own farts? That's the funniest thing ever. It's got 200 million, you know. And really, like, what's the point in thinking about politics or getting beyond that? I mean, guy Beban Kidron, who's one of the founders of the kids charity Five Rights, he has he carried out a very comprehensive study on the relationship between kids and the internet. And the conclusion was, kids hate being offline. It engenders in them the same feeling of being dead. It's like they're dead. And individual human beings have just become marketplaces now, mm. You know. You want to keep in touch with your friends. Facebook.
Yeah. You know?
Company's worth 500 billion now. And our habits, our likes, everything's been relentlessly tracked. You know, they're used in and sold on to corporations who can target us. Everything has been commodified. You know, walking used to be a way of forgetting your cares. Now you wear an Apple, Google smartwatch.
Well, I find
measures your steps.
Well, I yeah, that's amazing.
What's your daily calorie burn?
I often find myself like if I've gone to bed and I've taken my watch off. Actually, I put my watch. My son uses my watch to tell the time in the night, so I put it beside his bed at
night.
Let's
see your watch.
It's just a Garmin watch. It's just this. I use it for swimming.
Right.
You know, we've done 50 podcasts. I've never mentioned this podcast. I swim in the sea, which is like the whole point of swimming in the sea. We've done 50 podcasts,
right.
And I've never talked about sea swimming, which is the whole point.
But you don't monitor your steps, no, do you?
No, but what I'm saying is sometimes I will find myself going, I've gone up and down the stairs a few times and my fucking watch isn't on. I've lost out on a few, you know, there's a part of my brain that thinks.
I mean, you see people now running along and they've got these devices strapped to themselves. Sometimes they're holding them in their hands. You know, and
but you know that
the point of that is that you can then hate yourself even more for not living up to the ideal. You know, join a fit club, get a personal trainer. You know, sat nav watches, Nike fluorescent gear, just buy it. Nike, just buy it.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole gamut of human affairs, now singing, for example, I read a very very interesting piece about singing. You know, I mean, one of the glories of singing, right, is the imperfection of the human voice, mm. Right? You know, like you get your Johnny Cash, who's more a speaker than a singer and a narrator, or, you know, Lou Reed, or, you know, all of the sort of singers that have made an indelible impression of them. Because it's human beings expressing themselves. Now, largely, it's about a software package called AutoTune. And over 90% of chart albums in the last 20 years are as a result of auto-tune. So you can't sing. Who can remember the old ad for Kit Kat? You can't sing, you look awful. Yeah,
you go a long way.
You know, you go a long way. The machine will put you in tune and sing for you. Everything sounds the same. Cher used it on her album Believe in 1998 and sold 11 million copies and won a Grammy. How do you win a Grammy if a computer has done the singing for you? You know, and they're all using it. So music increasingly, unless you're an aficionado and going off the beaten track, it's just a purely commercial commodity now, you know. I
I mean,
but you see, I think more people are going off the beaten track as well, because you talk about that.
I'm not sure.
I don't know what the charts are.
Does the evidence support that? I mean, famed guitar maker Paul Reed Smith said to the autotune creator Andy Hildebrand, and you know what Andy Hildebrand did before he created autotune? He was a senior Exxon oil executive, you know, so not give two fucks about music. He said to Hildebrand, you have completely destroyed Western music. And what we're left with there are pretty clones, a computer package. What a defeat that is for the human spirit. You know, dating, lovemaking, hijacked, turned into billion-pound industries, you know. And the language used to accompany this invasion, you know, is hateful. You know, I hear presidents of GA now talking about we have an outstanding corporate product. Talking about the product. Fuck off, it's not a product. It's our way of life. You know, it's what we are. And this increasing professionalisation of the GA, big money being forked out for managers and background teams and all that, what that's doing is it's compromising the amateur ideal itself, and it's against the rules, which are a joke.
Yeah.
But also, another hidden consequence of this, a subtle but very dangerous consequence of this, is that slowly but surely we're starting to be taken over by the corporate world. Because the more you have to pay for everything, the more you have to compromise yourself for the corporate world.
You're so, listening to Free State with Joe Brolly and Pepsi.
That's right.
Just put that in there.
Yes.
And Dion Fanny.
Terms conditions.
I'm back.
Yeah. And, you know, and we see this all the time. Okay. Because there's more to the bargain than the corporation simply getting naming rights or, you know, taking out advertisements in your magazine or your newspaper supplement. I mean, a very well-known GA sports writer, gave me a story about 8 years ago. And I said, it's a great story. I said, I mean, why don't you write it? He said, I can't. He said, they sponsor our championship supplement.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
And all the time, we're going to find these compromises. Like, you look at those games yesterday in Croke Park, which were epic, you know, and what a day I had at that. You know, and, you know, like, I know all the Watty Grahams boys, and, you know, it was just, Enda Gormley, you know, great Derry footballer who had coached all those boys since they were kids. He just spent the night weeping. You know, we went over to the Croke Park Hotel, and whenever the team came in, you know, all those young men from the Glen community came in. He just wept and he hugged them all. And it was, you know,
a wonderful sense of community, and the boys speak the language of community. They're all very humble. You know, the captain talked about, you know, more than anyone else, this is a triumph of this community, for the people of this community, you know, our mothers and fathers, our friends, everyone who has contributed to ensuring that we have a sense of identity here, etc., etc. I mean, and like, in common with clubs all over Ireland, we all have very personal stories and important stories about the names of our clubs. Like my club, Kevin Lynch's, you know, it's a very personal, powerful thing for us. And the idea that someday it would just become commonplace to say, well, look, you know, we won't call it the Kevin Lynch's anymore. You know, we're going to call it, Krispy Kreme Donuts Park. Waddy Graham, the Glen Elders named the club after Walter Waddy Graham. Walter Waddy Graham, who was a Protestant, an elder in the Presbyterian Church, who were, of course, the mainstays of the 1798 rebellion. And he escaped after the United Irishmen were routed by the British. And as Seamus Heaney put it, shaking scythes at cannon. But he was subsequently betrayed by the Church of Ireland rector in Tamlach, who owed him money. Bloody Protestants. Bloody Protestants. And in 1798, Waddy was hanged from a tree in what are now the club grounds, the sacred club grounds of this terrific community. And he was then decapitated. His head was paraded around the town by the British soldiers, you know. And yesterday, having become the All-Ireland senior club football champions, when the Glen team got back, small hours, they paraded the same route, not with a head this time, but with the All-Ireland Club Championship trophy, you know.
I'm amazed.
Dazzling in silver.
And your own discipline in not going up there must be applauded at this point, because when I talked to you at 8 o'clock,
sorely tempted,
you were about to hit the road.
Fuck's sake, bro. Because she says, fuck's sake, bro. He says, come on up. For fuck's sake, he says. He says, I told the bank I'll see you on Friday. I says, what if you had lost? He says, ah, Jesus Christ, we're still seeing them on Friday. He says, only a game of football. And Fergal, of course, was one of the coaches, along with Enda Gormley, who was instrumental in the most imaginative work being done in relation to that group, you know. But, I mean, you imagine that. Very expensive nowadays to win championships and to keep everything on the road, and they need to do big sponsorship things themselves, the boys and all of that. And let's say, you know, as I imagined, you know, that a big sponsor comes in, you know, and says, look, we'll pay $100,000 a year, you know, for the naming rights of Waddy Park, you know. Watsits Park. Walker's Watsits, the Watsits Giants, a big billboard over the main gates on the Glenshane Pass side of the Waddy's Club, bearing the strapline, Watsits Park, home of the Watzilla. Size matters, not just in the bedroom.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and the what the Cork board have said it, so why not, you know? I mean, why park at Keeve, you know, whenever we need this money, we've got ourselves into a bit of debt, we haven't managed it that terribly well.
Well, they've got ourselves into a lot of debt, like, this is the problem, this is, you know, there's
Patrick O'Keefe's ancient anyway. You know, he might have been the GA's Director General, he might have been in the Irish Volunteers and fought valiantly in the War of Independence. For fuck's sake, lads, like, you know, super value. I mean, fuck me. Super value Park, and, you know, they're going to pay $250,000 a year to do that. But, you see, and that's the preference. Not only of the, that's the preference of super value. They don't want it to be called, you know, Super Value Park at Keeve. They wanted to be called Super Value Park.
Because nobody would call it Super Value Parky Cueve. They'd call it Parky Cueve.
I think that's what probably everyone would call it. But, you know, what's next? You know, a sort of a duty free style Super Value convenience area when you know the way when you go through security at the airport, then have to go through duty free.
Yeah.
Well, when you come into Parky Cueve now, you're going to have to go through the Super Value sort of plaza.
Mm.
You know,
sounds good. Some of the Super Values down in Cork.
Very good. I'm just checking here on the internet while we're sitting here. Felix Senior Jelly Cat Food only €5 per kilo. Andrex, how much do you think Andrex Toilet Tissue Washlets Classic Clean are?
Oh, geez, this is like, I'm like...
For 36 of them now.
I don't know, £4.
I think they're... No, €1.50.
Jeez, I'm like, did you see the clip of the Tory mayoral candidate in London being asked questions about London, you know, how much does a police officer get? How much does... what's the price for bus fare? These are the terrible questions.
What about Bird's Eye Crispy Chicken Dippers for a 22-pack, €5?
That's good.
You know,
but he's going to also do that.
And junk food, great deals on junk food. You know, so Cork Gaels and their kids have a lot to look forward to, because once you get entwined with a beloved brand, in this case Cork GAA, you know, the Rebel County, the mystical greats of the past, Jimmy Barry Murphy and Kevin Hennessy, and you know, they're legendary clubs. You know.
Well, I had a friend of mine said to me the other day, he said, tell Joe to go easy on Cork GAA. They still hadn't got over Tony Davis getting sent off, he said. So he's...
Boo-hoo. Die looks if I give a fuck. But, and then I see that there was a story that as part of the branding agreement, because they're paying £250,000 after all a year, you know, to the hard-pressed sort of Cork GAA, the RTE commentary box... brackets, if RT still exists by the time the championship comes around, close brackets, will be apparently in the form of the Super Value checkouts, with each pundit standing behind their own checkout. This is not a joke, wearing the Super
Value. This is a joke.
It's not, no, wearing the Super Value uniform. So they all have to wear Super Value, you know, the wee Super Value red waistcoat, the wee red jacket. And why not? Because, you know, look, this is part of the agreement. You know, it's not that big a deal. Yeah, sure, we'll wear it, yeah. And, you know, when we're at it, why don't we, as they do now in American sport, because people said 40 years ago, there's no way that American sport is going to be conquered by the brands, you know, because we've got such distinctive, cultures here. Well, I mean, I went to an NBA game, see the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden. It's almost like a virtual shopping mall where you're being bombarded from start to finish. Mm. Like there, you don't get a second. I came out of it feeling stressed.
Yeah.
You know, we went to the wee bar around the corner and said, fuck.
Yeah.
Jesus, because it's just constant in your face selling, you know, and there's not a minute to sit between quarters. Mm. You know, or at half time to think, to talk. You're just constantly bombarded. They exhort you to put your mobile phone number in, because then you can win a prize. So you do that. Now they've got your mobile phone, now you've got your email. You're bombarded. There's not a moment of lax time there. And you try to watch it on the television now, you know. And our commercial break brought to us by Krispy Kreme Donuts, the donut you can rely on. I don't know about you, Shaq, but I love those Krispy Kreme donuts.
You're listening to Free State Podcast with Joe Brawley and Haribo,
yes. That was... I should disclose that we actually do have an agreement with Krispy Kreme donuts. Fucking anybody at this stage. But is there anybody out there?
Hello. Hello.
Jesus Christ. There are children to feed.
But look,
you saw the one about there was a great one about Mayo, that they were in discussions with one of the major dog food companies for the naming rights of McHale Park, but the county board members thought it was good over the top of it to call it Winalot Park.
The thing about this is you talked about you know, the report deal was $250,000 a year for naming rights. Now, back in 2015, when they were delivering, when they were planning the redevelopment of Páirc Uí Chaoimh, they actually said the Cork County Board put a cost analysis plan into the Department of Sport, and they estimated one of those kind of revenue estimations they would get $500,000 a year for naming rights. So they haven't even got what they said they intended to get. And this is one of the things, one of the mistakes they've made in some ways.
See, it shouldn't be at it. It's all becoming hyper-commercial.
But why was it done in the first?
They get 30 million. They get 30 million from the Irish Exchequer. Taxpayers' money, 30 million. And what did the government do? Instead of ring-fencing that and saying, here are the rules. Okay, we give you 30 million.
Right? But the rules, they shouldn't.
Now we have Micheál Martin saying, oh, you can't call it Super Value Park. Yeah. This is absolutely outrageous.
How many times have you been to the new Páirc Uí Chaoimh since it got reopened?
No, I wasn't at it.
I've been there. I've been there more times than you. That tells you what a white elephant has become.
But it's down in Cork.
Yeah.
But it's not your best point.
No, it is. It is, because the point about this is you're saying the government should have ring-fenced it. No, this comes back to the original point.
They should have had rules. They should have had criteria.
No, what they should have said was this is somehow, because they're going to redevelop. We've too many stadiums in this country, yeah. Right? We've too many stadiums. Why would you spend this much money on a stadium that is never full? This is the problem. This is the problem that no, if I... A Seanean, a member of a Seanean culture, have been to Páirc Uí Chaoimh more often than Joe Brawley.
What was there?
I was there for Clare versus Tipperary. Clare versus Tipperary in the Munster hurling quarterfinal.
It's going to be accident.
Or All Ireland, whatever it was. I was there, and I remember thinking that the traffic was terrible. Got stuck.
What was
in
that? The All Ireland, whatever it was.
All Ireland quarterfinal, I think.
The All Ireland, whatever it was.
But there was like 28.
That's Dion Fanning, sports correspondent with the Examiner. The All Ireland, whatever it was.
28,000 at it. It's never full. It's never used. They're talking about developing. How much money are they going to put into redeveloping Killarney if they develop that as a stadium? How often is Killarney going to be full?
But you want to have, if you had a nice sort of 25,000, 20,000 stadium, that's perfect. You know,
for what?
I mean, we have a perfect wee stadium, Celtic Park. It's perfect. And I think our capacity is about 15,000. Perfect. Couldn't be better. You know, gets great crowds during the club championships. You know, we've now got a lovely 4,000-seater out at Owen Beg, our Derry Centre of Excellence. That's another one I didn't mention. You know, they're talking about the GAA have been discussing doing a deal for all of the centres of excellence with Centra. In future, they'll be called the Centres of Excellence.
Come on, Brad. Look, this is what you get with us. That's good. That is excellent. Centres of Excellence. That's really good.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.